I had a wedding on Friday in St. Cloud, Minnesota. So I just got back yesterday afternoon. It's a nice 13-hour road trip. I was talking to somebody the day before I left. And he was like, oh man, that's gotta be tough. Making that road trip all by yourself? I said, no. It's not hard for me at all. Because on a road trip by myself, I can do whatever I want. I can play music. I can sit in silence. I can listen to podcasts. I say, you're the one who's got it tough. Whenever you go anywhere, whenever you take a road trip, you got all your kids with you. And I know what that's like because I used to be one of the kids in the back seat. Mom, he won't stop touching me. Mom, tell him to get on his side. I remember I used to ride on road trips, my mom and dad are here, with my brother Neil in the back seat. Mom, Neil pinched me. She didn't do anything. So all of a sudden, punch him in the face. He starts crying like a little baby. Mom turns around, she's like, why did you punch your brother? Because he wouldn't stop pinching me, I told you. Little kids have a desire for justice. They have a desire, this innate desire for justice. And you guys have heard it. It's not fair. Right? They want justice, and they want it right now. And you and I, even though we're older, aren't that different from that little kid desire for justice. We look out at the world and we see all these things that are a mess. We see all the evil out in the world and we turn to God. We say, why don't you do something, God? Why don't you act? What are you waiting for? God, I want justice and I want it right now. But this becomes a big mystery for us. Why isn't God doing something right now? Why does he allow the evil to be there with the good? This is the big question that the parable Jesus speaks of today is talking about. Why does the farmer allow the weeds to grow up with the wheat? This is also the question that our first reading from the Book of Wisdom, it's what that whole book struggles with. How does and why does God allow evil to still remain? Why doesn't he act? The wisdom that this book points to and the wisdom that Jesus points to is that there's more happening than what we realize, than what we're able to see. If mom pulled over, every time there was a fight in the backseat, every time my brother took some of my candy, if she had to pull over every time, we would never have made it to Minneapolis or Iowa. Ever. Now, as a little kid, you don't realize this, but a parent has more wisdom. They know this. But this is God has more wisdom as well. There's more than what we can see. And this first reading, it says, God's might is the source of all justice. God is bigger than all the problems, even though they're real, that are happening in the world and that are happening in your life. He's bigger than them. His might, his power allows God to be patient. Because God is bigger, he's able to be merciful as well. He is the one in control. And his justice is always perfect. If this year, 2020, if this year has taught us anything, It's that we're not in control. If this year has done anything, it's ripped away any illusion that you and I have had that we're in control of our lives. And we've seen, haven't we? People have reacted to this losing control in wildly different ways. For some people, it's been an incredible grace, a burden that's been lifted off of them, that not all the weight's on them, and it's recognizing the reality of their life, the reality of who they are and who God is, that they're not in control. And so it's to trust more in God who is, and it's been a grace. Other people, we've seen, right, have lost their minds. That this losing control has caused them to lash out. It's like me punching my little brother in the face when mom doesn't do anything. It's saying, you know what? I'm going to take this into my own hands. And we turn to God and we complain. And we say, why won't you act? Why don't you bring justice right now? What about righteous anger, God? And we get impatient. And so we are willing then, so many of us, even for the very best reason, we end up willing to do evil things, even for the sake of good. You can win a battle. You can win a really, really good battle and still lose your soul. But what God does for each of us in his mercy is he shows us that he's bigger than that. That his wisdom is greater. And he also, in his mercy for us, shows us that evil is bigger than oftentimes what we see as well. That from the beginning of the world, ever since the fall, there's been both wheat and weeds. There's been deep good and there's been real evil. That from the beginning of the church, there's been both wheat and weeds. There's been people within it who have been really incredibly great and good, and there have been the worst of sinners. And if we're honest, this is the same with each one of our hearts. That within each one of us, there is wheat and there are weeds. There's an incredible potential for goodness within you. But there is an incredible potential for evil as well. And so when we ask God that question, what are you doing, God? Why won't you act? What about righteous anger? What if he turned to you and said, is that what you want me to show you right now is righteous anger? Do you want me to show justice to you in your life? Are you ready for judgment? Do you see all the weeds in your life? And if we have a small bit of wisdom, our only response to that question of God's is speechlessness. Because we recognize that the first thing that has to happen is repentance in our own heart. The first thing that has to happen if we want the world to change, is conversion in our own hearts. Because we look at the mess of the world. You look, if you're authentically honest, at your own life, and you recognize it's kind of a mess. And we're like, God, I don't even know how to pray about this. I don't even know what to say. But that speechlessness, when we bring those things to God, is where the Holy Spirit is able to come and to pray through us. When we see all these things that are a mess, we acknowledge them, that they're real, and we bring them and relate them to God. Then in our speechlessness, the Holy Spirit is able to pray through us when we don't have the words to say. And then, when we've brought these things to God, then He's able to act. Because how God chooses to act in the world is only through holiness. How He chooses to act in the world is through you and I. And that only happens through holiness. Through Him coming and acting in our lives first, and then after that, in the world. And then He's able to bring light even into darkness, even into a mess. This is the way that God always works in His wisdom. It's in the darkest times that He brings forth the greatest light in the greatest saints. In the darkness of the Holocaust, in that little country of Poland, God brought forth four of the greatest saints in the history of the church within a 30-year period. John Paul II, St. Faustina, where Divine Mercy came from, St. Maximilian Kolbe, St. Edith Stein, and on, some of the greatest saints, even out of the darkest times. And this is what He desires to do in this time and in your lives as well. That when we bring that mess to Him, that darkness, the Holy Spirit's able to come in and to breathe life there, to bring light there. And God is able then to bring grace into the world through you, through holiness. God is always acting. But where that always starts is within your hearts through holiness.